Good morning. Today's daf is Baba Kama, daf Samach Dalid. We left off daf Samach Gimel, Amud Beis, six lines up from the bottom of the Amud. So we left off in the middle of a very technical, is how I'll phrase it, discussion of Toin Tanas Ganav versus a Ganav, if a person either steals something or if a person is... or if a person is watching an object and the owner comes to claim the object and the shomer says that it was stolen and then Edim later come and it turns out the fellow then is mashbiah him, so the fellow takes a shvua, so the shomer takes a shvua that the object was stolen. Edim later come and say that the shomer himself stole the object. That's a case of Toin Tanas Ganav. We had said that in both of those cases, both in the case of a regular Ganav and in the case of Toin Tanas Ganav, the Ganav has to pay, or the person who was Toin Tanas Ganav has to pay Tashlume Kefel. And we were being medayik in the psukim of Tashlume Kefel yesterday in the manner of Klal Uprat Uklal, and we also saw Ribuyim. What exactly, sort of, what do you have to steal in order to be mechayev the kefel payment for either a ganav or a toin tanas ganav? And we saw that the pasuk excluded a couple of things, shor, chamor, seh, salma. So we tried to say that that the common denominator between everything, the common thread, was that all these things are davar hamataltel v'gufa mamon. So you only have to make the kefel payment with respect to something that you steal if it's a davar hamataltel v'gufa mamon. We saw yesterday what we try to exclude. The Gemara today is going to continue along in a very technical manner, bringing a braisa of Tana de Bechizkiya, other interpretations of how to analyze these psukim and how to try to figure out whether the two psukim are talking about both Toin Tanas Ganav, whether one is talking about Ganav, one is talking about Toin Tanas Ganav, what we learn from the other pasuk, depending on what we learn from words in the psukim, depending on what we hold each pasuk to be teaching us, and then just drilling down further into the actual nature of the klal uprat uklal and drush us in that respect. So unfortunately, it's a continuation of a very technical discussion that we began yesterday, so we'll just explain the words on the page. Hopefully, I'll be able to explain them in a cogent manner and make things flow, but it's a very technical daf. So, in any event, with that introduction, says the Gemara, we left off Samach Gimel Amud Beis, six lines up from the bottom, fifth word on the line, which is Bishlama. So says the Gemara, Bishlama lamadi amar chad beganav chad betoin tanas ganav shapir. So we had two psukim that teach me the kefal requirement. So we had one mandi amar, you'll recall yesterday you said that both of those cases are teaching me about a case of toin tanas ganav. And another mandi amar said that one of those psukim is teaching me that the ganav himself has to pay tashlume kefal. And the other pasuk is teaching me that a toin tanas ganav has to pay tashlume kefel. So says the Gemara, I understand according to the Mandi Amar who says that one is dealing by a ganav himself, one is dealing by a toin tanas ganav shaper, that's why I need two psukim. Ela lamandi amar tavari betoin tanas ganav, but according to the Mandi Amar who says that both of those psukim are talking about toin tanas ganav, so ganav atzmo minole. So how do I know that a ganav himself has to pay kefel? So I know twice, or you've taught me twice in the psukim, that a toin tanas ganav, that the shomer who claims that the object is stolen takes a shvua to that effect, it later turns out that he himself stole the object, that shomer has to pay kefel. But how do I know that a ganav himself has to pay kefel? So says the Gemara, v'chitem aleise b'kal v'chomer mitoin tanas ganav. So says the Gemara, well, maybe it should be learned from a kal v'chomer, from Toin Tanas Ganav. The Madach, if a Toin Tanas Ganav where the object got into his Rishus Beheter, because initially he started off as a Shomer, and he only kept it in his Rishus Be'isser, so Alachas Kama V'Kama, a Ganav where the object came into his possession Be'isser, certainly has to make the Kefal requirement. So if you want to learn it out from that Kal V'Chomer, says the Gemara, Daya Lababan Adin Lios Kenidon, that Malahalam Beshvua Afkan Beshvua. So, but in that case, we would apply the principle of Dayo, and we would say just like a Toin Tanas Ganav, or just like by Toin Tanas Ganav, the Shomer only has to pay Kefel if he took a Shvua to the effect that it was stolen, and then it turns out that he himself stole it. So I might think that maybe by a Ganav himself, the Ganav would not be Chaya for Tashlume Kefel, unless he takes a shvua, but we know that's not true. By a ganav, the ganav is chayev tashlume kefal, whether he takes a shvua or not. So says the Gemara, nafkalemi the tana debe chiskiya. So he learns, so that tana will learn that a ganav himself pays tashlume kefal from the brisa of tana debe chiskiya. So what's this brisa? So the Gemara now is going to, for the next amud, analyze what the tana debe chiskiya is. The tana debe chiskiya, yomar shor v'gneva v'akol b'chlal. Why doesn't it just say shor and gneva, that and everything else could have been, and everything else could have been learned out, and everything could, and everything else could have been learned out from this klal? So it says Rashi over here. So what does this mean? This is sort of a cryptic comment. So Rashi, four lines up from the bottom, says yomar shor v'gneva v'akol b'chlal demarbin on kol kena prat, because we would be marba everything that's like the prat, everything that's like a shor, davar metaltel v'gufa mamon. That, and a shor itself is a davar metaltel v'gufa mamon, so it could have just said gneva, it could have just said shor, and I would have known that any davar metaltel v'gufa mamon, I have to pay kefel. And says, continues Rashi, chamor v'seh lamali, so why does it have to say chamor v'seh? Umishani ilukein, and we'll see what it says, ulukhamam mefarish maikomar holav klal prat to klalhu, the kadarish la kein prat. The Gemara later is going to say this whole kasha makes no sense, because the Tana Dabei Chizkiya seems to be saying yomer shor v'gneva v'akol b'chlal, that all it would have to say is shor and gneva, and I would know to be marba everything. I would know to include everything. But the Gemara is going to give a couple of problems here. Number one, it first says the word gneva, then it says the word shor. So it doesn't say shor or gneva at all. It says gneva and shor. Number two, assuming it said gneva and then it said shor, it would be a klal prat. And the halacha and the limud by klal prat, you'll remember from the Rabbi Shmuel Omers that we say every day. So it's a lot about that in today's daf. So klal prat is only what's in the prat. So by klal prat, the halacha is not that we are marbe everything that is like the prat. We include just the prat. So the Gemara later on is going to say, what do you mean that it could say gneva and shor, and then I would know everything that's davar metaltel v'gufa mamon? No, I wouldn't. Well, let's the Gemara will lead up to that. So says the Gemara, Tana Bei Rav Chizkiya, yomer shor gneva v'akol b'chlal. I would know everything. Say ilukacha yisi omer ma prat mefurash karav l'gabem mizbeach af kol karav l'gabem mizbeach. So no, because if it only would have said gneva and shor, I would have thought that I am only mechayev the kefil payment by something if I steal something that is fit to be brought on the mizbeach. So how do I know? So it should include not only shor, but also everything else, anything else that's fit to be brought on the mizbeach. So ma yesh l'cha l'havi. So what would you include in addition to shor that's fit to be brought on the mizbeach? So says the Gemara, seh. So it's a seh. Why? Because the karbonos are either shor, a seh, or an eiz. So the Gemara says, what else would I include but for a shor? I would include a seh. But kasho omer seh, harei seh omer. But why would I need through a klalu prat type of derivation to include a seh? Because seh is written explicitly in the pasuk. It says shor, chamor, seh, osalma. So I have seh already written in the pasuk. Hamani mekayim gneva. So why does it then come to say the pasuk, the word gneva? So larabos kol davar, because gneva comes to include everything. Okay. And that and the everything means that everything that's a davar metaltel v'gufa mamon, not only stuff that's brought on the mizbeach. So says the Gemara, well, still, I don't need all of these miyutim, because yomar shor seh v'gneva v'akol b'chlal, because it could have just told me shor, seh, and gneva, and I would have known everything. So says the Gemara, no, I wouldn't have, because ilu kacha yisi omar ma prat meforish davar hakadosh b'bchora, av kol davar hakadosh b'bchora. So I would have thought that just like these two specifications are things where the Bechor is Kadosh, because the Bechor of a Shor, the Bechor of a Seh is Kadosh, so too your Chayav Kefil only by something that has Kedushas Bechor. But what else has Kedushas Bechor besides Shor and Seh? So says the Gemara, Mayesh L'Halahavi, Chamar. So what else has Kedusha like a Bechor? What else has Kedushas Bechor like Shor and Seh? So it's a Chamar that has Kedushas Bechor. But then Kesho Omer Chamar, Harei Chamor Amor. So, but why would I have to learn Chamor from the fact that it says Shor and Seh? Chamor is written explicitly in the Pasuk, so I don't need the combination of Shor and Seh to teach me that everything that's Kodesh B'Bechorah, including Chamor, is in the Parsha of Kefel, because Chamor itself is written in the Pasuk that it's in the Parsha of Kefel. So Hamani Mekayim Gneva L'Rabos Kol Dover. So that's why Gneva comes and teaches me that it's not only something that is Kodesh B'Bechorah, It's not only something that's Karav al Gabim Mizbeach, it's everything that's a Dover Metalta, the Gufa Mamon, is going to be Chayiv in the Kefel, in the payment of Kefel. So says the Gemara, well, Yomar Shor v'chamor se v'gneva v'kol b'chlal. So why doesn't it just say Shor, Chamor, se, and Gneva, and I would have known to include everything? So says the Gemara, Ilu kacha yisi omer ma'prat mepurish balechayim avkol balechayim. So says the Gemara, no, because if it only gave me the specifications, if it only gave me the specific examples of Shor, Chamor, and Se, I would have thought that the Kefal requirement only applies by balechayim, only by living creatures. So ma yesh l'cha lahavi. So what would I include besides these living creatures? Shar balechayim. I would include other living creatures, right? Because if the specifications of all three specifications are living creatures, then I would know to, and it has to be Kain Aprat, then I would include not only these specific living creatures, but also other living creatures. So it says the Gemara, Beksha Omer Chayim Arei Chayim Omer. But it also says Chayim Shnayim Yishalem in the Pasuk. So the Pasuk itself says the word Chayim. So I already know from the Pasuk Mefurish that all Balei Chayim are included. So Hamani Mekayim Gneva L'Rabos Kol Davar. So therefore, when it says Gneva, it comes to include everything. It comes to include not only Balei Chayim, but anything that's a Davar Metaltel V'Gufa Mamon is going to be Chayiv in the Parsha of Kefel. So Amar Mar. So now the Gemara asks a question that we alluded to a couple of minutes ago. So Amar Mar Yomar Shor V'Gneva. So it says, so the Tana of the Beir Chizkiya starts off by saying that all it has to say is Shor and Gneva. So it says the Gemara Miksev Shor U'Gneva. Does it say Shor U'Gneva so that the word Gneva should be Marbe everything? Gneva V'Shor Hu Dichsev. It says Gneva and Shor in the Pasuk. And says Rashi, so Miksiv Shor, so Rashi here is in the first skinny line, Miksiv Shor Beresha V'Hadr Gneva Davalei Prat Uklal, the name I call Bechlal, the Nasa Klal Mosef Ala Prat. Does it say first Shor and then Gneva so that we should interpret the word Gneva to be a klal and therefore coming to include things that are Ke'ina Prat? Says the Gemara, says Rashi, no, Gneva v'shor k'siv. It says Gneva v'shor, davalei klal u'prat v'shor in midi achrini lo. It says Gneva and Shor, and therefore it's a klal u'prat, and the limud by klal u'prat is that ein l'cha ela masha b'prat, that we have only specifically what's in the prat. So how are we using this Gneva as something to expand the limud? If anything, the Gneva comes first, and then the Shor comes, and so the Shor would come to limit the limud, not vice versa. So says the Gemara, v'chi tema ilu nemar kamar. Maybe the Gemara is saying, well, hypothetically, had the Pasuk switched the order of these words, really it says Gneva and Shor, so I can't learn any of this stuff from the Pesukim. But had it said Shor and Gneva, maybe I only would have needed one of these specifications, and then Gneva would have been Marbe everything. So why do I need all of these specifications? So maybe the Gemara is posing a straw man question. It's asking a hypothetical. Had it said this, then I would not have needed all these specifications. So says the Gemara, V'chitem ilu nemar kamar, ilu nemar Shor Gneva, if it said Shor Gneva, sami matzis amritz, ma'afrat mefurashu, would we then said ma'afrat mefurash, Shor prat, v'gneva klal, but then it says, but if it had said Shor and Gneva, the Shor would be a specification, the Gneva would be a generalization, prat klal, nasa klal mosif ala prat, vis rabalu kol mile. So, but then the klal would come and would be mosif on the prat and would teach us everything. So your whole Tana of the Bechizkiya was founded on the assumption that because there's this klal and because there's this prat, I would have known only to include things that are doma to the prat, but says the Gemara, not so, because either it's a klal of prat, in which case it includes only the prat, or it's a prat of klal, in which case it includes everything. So what's up with this limud here in the Tana of the Beit Chizkiya? So says the Gemara, ela kedichsiv. No, rather what we're kedichsiv kamri. So we're dealing with the pasuk as it's written. In other words, it says gneva first, so it's klal uprat. First gneva, then shor. So it's klal uprat. So gneva v'shor. So mi matzas amres akol bechlal. Akol bechlal. Do we say akol bechlal? Oh, ma'afrat mefurashu. Ma'afrat mefurashu le gneva klal v'shor prat klal uprat in bechlal elam masha beprat shor in midiach rini lo. That in that case we should learn it out in the way of the klal uprat,
and we should include only Shor Dafka, because Klaloprat is Ein Lecha Elamasha Befrat. So we should learn Dafka Shor and not everything that's brought on the Mizbech, because we have no license to expand the Limud beyond the specific thing that's brought down in the Pasuk. So Amar Rava Tana Achayim Kasamach Lei. Well, so the Tana is not assuming that it's a klal prat. The Tana is assuming that it's a klal prat to klal. Where's the second klal? The second klal is the word chayim in the pasuk, where it says toward the end of the pasuk, it had said chayim shnayim yishalim. So klal prat to klal kamar lei. And so we're learning this in the style of klal prat to klal. So says the Gemara, v'holo dami klal basra la klal kama. But the second klal is not like the first klal, because the second klal is only chayim, right? But Rashi says delo kayil elabale chayim leklala kama mashma kol davar. The two klalos are not alike, because the first klal of Geneva implies that the parsha of Kefal applies when you steal everything, anything. Then we have the word shor, which is the prat, and then we have a klal which is chayim. But the klal of chayim is not as expansive as the first klal of gneva, because the klal of gneva implies that I'm chayiv kefal no matter what I steal. The klal of chayim only implies that I'm chayiv kefal when I steal balei chayim. So the second klal is not like the first klal. So how can I darshan klal of prat to klal like this? So says the Gemara, ha-tana debei Rabbi Shmuel, who this is the tana debei Rabbi Shmuel, the chiyai gavna darshi klal yiprate. Because the Talmud of Rabbi Shmuel is doresh, he does doresh klal prat to klal like this, even when the second klal is not necessarily as broad as the first klal. V'alchi kakashile, and this is the kasha. Imi motze ti motze lamali. So what the Gemara is really asking, or what the Bryce is really asking here, is why does it say in the pasuk imi motze ti motze haganav? Why does it use that double lashon? So yomer shor v'gneva v'chayim v'akol b'chlal. And the kasha is like this: it should just say gneva. It should just say shor gneva and chayim, and everything should be included. So ilukein aisi omer ma'afrat mufurish davar akarav l'gabim mizbeach af kol akarav l'gabim mizbeach. So no, because maybe if you darshan it like that, we would say that the second klal is coming to include only things that are like the prat in that they're brought on the mizbeach. So mayesh lahavi, what would you bring? Seh, you would come to include seh. But then kesho omer seh, harei seh omer, but seh is already written in the pasuk. Hamani makayim gneva, so what does gneva teach me? L'rabos kol davar. Gneva comes to teach me that it includes everything, that it's a davar metalta v'gufa maman I'm chayiv kefal for. So yomar gneva v'shar v'seh v'chayim v'akol b'klal. So why doesn't it just say gneva, shar, seh, which are the two specifications, and chayim, which is the second klal, v'akol b'klal, and I would have known to include everything. Says the Gemara, ilukeina yisiyomar ma'afrat mefurish davar ha-kadosh b'b'chora, afkal davar ha-kadosh b'b'chora. Because now then maybe I would have said that just like both klolos are davar ha-kadosh b'b'chora, are things that have kedushas b'chor, so too only things that have kedushas b'chor I'm chayav kefal for. So ma'yesh ha lahavi chamar. So what else has kedushas b'chor besides shor and seh? It's chamar. So you're going to say that I should include chamar from the klal of prat to klal? But kesho omer chamar, arei chamar omer. But the word chamor is written in the pasuk, so I don't need the klal prat to klal to teach me chamor, because I learned chamor because it's written in the pasuk. So hamani makayim gneva the rabbos called davar. So gneva comes to teach me that everything is included, that it comes to include kol davar metalta v'gufa mamon. So the gemara tries again. Yomar gneva v'shar v'sev v'chamor v'chayim v'akol b'klal. So ilukene yisomer ma'afrat m'forish balechayim af kol balechayim. So just like all the pratos, all of the examples here are balei chayim, so too the kala prata klal, when it goes more expansive, it's only teaching me that other balei chayim, because it has to be keina prat, that other balei chayim are included in the chiyuv of kefel. So ma'yesh lo lahavi shar balei chayim. So you would include other balei chayim besides oxen, sheep, and donkeys. But kesho omer chayim, arei chayim amur. When it says the word chayim in the pasuk explicitly, that's what teaches me all other balei chayim. So I don't need the klal prat to klal to teach me that other balei chayim are included. Ha'amani makayim gneva l'rabos kol davar. So therefore, gneva comes to teach me everything. So this again, we're just setting up the brisa to teach me that we need the word gneva. We need all of the specifications, and then we need the word gneva to teach me that it's not only things that are brought on the Mizbeach. It's not only things that have Kedushas Bechor. It's not only all Balei Chayim. It's everything. It's anything that's a davar metaltel begufa mamon, I'm chayev kefal for it. But then imotzei temotzei lamali. But in that case, why do I need the other? And the Gemara is viewing this double language as other ribuyim. Why do I need the pasuk to tell me he motzei? Why do I need the pasuk to tell me he motzei temotzei? So that concludes the Braisa of Tana de Bechizkiya. So the whole Braisa of Tana de Bechizkiya is going on. Why do I need the double lashon of imimatzei timatzei if between the klal upratu klal of gneva, shor, seh, chamor, and chayim, I would learn that everything that's a davar metalta v'gufa mamon is included in the chiyav of kefel. So says the Gemara, flipping over to Samach Dalet Amud Beis, siyachi shaper kashale. But in that case, it's a good kasha. So you're asking a good kasha. I already know to include everything through the limud of klal prat to klal. So in that case, why taka do I need the double lashon of imi matzei timatzei? So what do I learn from that? So says the Gemara, mishum de islei pircha, because there is a kasha on this. So larabos kol davar. So it says larabos kol davar mehechi kamaisila. So which klal are we learning that it comes to include kol davar, that it comes to include everything that's a davar metaltel begufa mamon? So mechlal basra. So we would have to learn it out from the second klal, right? Because the klal uprata klal, the whole nima by klal uprata klal, is that the second klal comes to teach me that it's anything that's ke'en afrat, that it's not only the frat specifically, not only the specification specifically, oh, not only the specific examples, but also the generalization. But the problem with this brisa is that in all of the limudim on Amud Aleph, we have been saying, oh, comes Geneva, and it teaches me to include everything. The problem is, Geneva is the first klal. Geneva is not the second klal. The second klal is Chayim. So how could the second klal of Chayim come to teach me even things that aren't Bali Chayim? That's the problem with the brisa. So Mechlal Basra, Klal Gufei Chayim Ksivbe. But that second klal is the word chayim, so how could that klal come to teach me even things that aren't balei chayim when the word itself implies only balei chayim? So klal prato klal, my kamahani le. So what do we do with this klal prato klal? Ila asuye kol davar, if it comes to include everything, anything that's a davar metalta v'gufa mamon ha chayim ksiv. So balei chayim in midim achrini lo, but the second klal is chayim, and so the klal of chayim can perforce only come to teach me that balei chayim are included. So says the Gemara, mishim ha'cha, itzarech imimatzei. So that's why it has to say imimatzei. So amri vashne klolos esmichei adadininu. Well, in that case, we have the word chayim, and then we have the word imimatzei timatzei, but now we have klal uprat uklal uklal. So we have two klolos, so we have two klolos that are close to each other, and Rashi points out furthermore that these klolos come before the prat. Rashi says imotzei timotzei veichimotzei lemidrash minayu klal prat to klal. But so we're trying to learn that the words himotzei timotzei are a klal, right? So there are two lashonos. There is a double lashon of imimatzei timatzei, and we're going to try to learn it out now in klal uprat to klal. The problem is that klal uprat to klal has to appear that way. You first need a klal, then you need a prat, then you need a klal. Imatzei timatzei is two klals, one right after the other. So how does this work? Some ravina kadamri b'marava, like we say, the Tanam from Eretz Yisrael say, Kol mokom shatamotzi shnei klolos hasmukham zelazeh. Anytime you have two klolos that are next to each other, hitil prat beinayim v'dona mechlal prat. That you have to add a prat in between them, and then you can be done the two klolos in the style of klalu prat. So shadi shor bein himatzei litimatzei. So we should assume, we should interpret these psukim all as if the pratos are in the middle of the two klolos of imimatzei timatzei. So lasuye mai. So what does that come to include? Ilasuye balei chayim. So if it comes to include all balei chayim. So what are we learning from this klal of himatzei timatzei? If it comes to include all balei chayim, not only yeshar, semi chayim nafka, that we don't need this klal of prata klal to teach me because the word chayim is written expressly in the pasuk. Ela lasuye davar. Maybe it comes to include even things that are not balei chayim with drosh achi, and you should darshan it like this: ma frat mefurish davar metalta v'gufa mamon, afkol davar metalta v'gufa mamon. Just like the prat is mefurish to be a davar metalta v'gufa mamon, also anything else that's a davar metalta v'gufa mamon, you are going to be chayav kefil for. Visu shadi chamor beni matzei l'timatzei, and also include chamor between the words himatzei timatzei lasui emai. What does this come to include? Say ilasui davar shein balechayim. If it comes to include davar shein balechayim, so mishar nafka. But that I already learned from the klal prata klal. Ela lasui davar mesuyam. It comes to include even a davar mesuyam. So again, we saw this yesterday. Machlokas Rashi Tosfos, whether davar mesuyam comes to whether davar mesuyam means that something that has a simen, and davar or Tosfos who says that a davar she'ena mesuyam, that a davar mesuyam rather means something that has a specific measure, something where it's a known quantity that was stolen. Lafuke, a case where a guy claims that you stole everything that's in my house, where it's not a known quantity that was stolen. Rashi points out that we are darshening this, the fact that it comes to include a davar mesuyam from a ribuy, and we're not learning anything specifically from the nature of chamor, because this is a little weird. In fact, you'll recall yesterday when we wanted to include a davar mesuyam, we learned it out from Salma, because we said just like a regular beged has a simon, so too it comes to include anything that's a davar mesuyam. Over here, we're learning the inclusion of everything that has a siyam from a chamor, and Rashi says it's a kasha, because chamor, not every chamor has a simon. That, in fact, there are many animals that don't have any noteworthy simon. So says Rashi, it's clear that we're learning it from the klal prat and not actually from the metzias of a chamor. But says the Gemara Vayter, back in the Gemara, Ziyachi Seh Lamali, so why do I now need the Pasuk to teach me Seh? Ela Riba Umiyot V'Ribahu. So you're right, it's not a Klal Prata Klal, because now I'm out of other things to teach me. I've already learned that Kol Dover Metalto V'Gufa Mamon. I've already learned Kol Dover Sheh Simen. I have nothing to learn from Seh. So it's not a Klal Prata Klal, it's a Ribu Umiyot and Riba. K'detana Debe Rabbi Shmuel. And it's like the Tana Debe Rabbi Shmuel. And what's the ton of the Beit Rabbi Shmuel? The ton of the Beit Rabbi Shmuel, b'mayim beis pamim. This is talking about the simani kashrus of a fish. It says kol sheyesh lo snaper v'kash keses b'mayim, and then it says b'yamim u'banachalim. And the psukim are introduced with the word b'mayim, with the word b'mayim as well. So the Beit Rabbi Shmuel says b'mayim beis pamim. Ein zeh klal prat ella riba miyot v'riba riba kol. So Tana Rabbi Shmuel darshens is not in the derech of Klal Prat, but rather in a ribuy. So my Rabbi, what does it come to include? Rabbi Kol Mili, it comes to include everything. See, Achi Kol Ani Prati Lamali. But if that's the case, if now we're learning ribuy and miyot v'riba, and again, we had mentioned a couple of days ago, the key thing to remember is that ribuy, miyot, and riba is even more expansive than Klal Prat to Klal. Because Klal Prat to Klal, the best you're going to get is that the last generalization is going to come to include even things that are like the specifications in addition to the specifications themselves. But they have to share some similarity with the specifications. Riba miyot and riba is riba hakol. It does not have to share any similarity with the specifications. So if that's the case, so what the need for all of these specifics? Why do I need all these examples if at the end of the day I'm going to include everything? Says the Gemara, because chad l'miyote karka, one comes to exclude karka, v'chad l'miyote avadim, another comes to exclude avadim, v'chad l'miyote shtaros, and the other comes to exclude sharos. So gneva v'chayim l'chadarav, and gneva v'chayim come to teach me the halacha of rav. What's halacha of rav? Di'amar achya l'keren kein shaganav, that we revive the keren as of the time of the theft. So what does this mean? Rashi says, "L'kamonu b'shmeitzin." We're going to learn it we're gonna learn it coming up. Dim gana behema v'hukshah uhuzla, that if a person steals a behema and then that behema is weakened or the value of the behema decreases, mshalim kshas agneva, you have to pay according to the value of the animal at the shas agneva. Dichsiv chayim echiyo l'keren shal gneva shiyush shalim, that you have to basically revive the keren. You have to, when you return the object, or when you return the value of the object, you have to return the value of the object as it existed when you stole it, and not as it exists now. So that's what he learns out from the word. That's what he learns out from the words Gnevan Chayim, that Achyua LeKeren Ke'en Shaganav. You pay Keren in accordance with the value at the time that it was stolen. Ulamandi Yamar Chad Beganav Chad Betoin Tanas Ganav. Now, According to Ma'ad Amar, who says that one of the Pesukim was talking to, was telling me that a ganav has to pay kefil. And another of these Pesukim was telling me that Toitana's ganav has to pay kefil. So, v'ganav atzmo nafkale mevim yimotze, v'ganav atzmo nafkale mevim yimotze yimotze aganav, sa'ayim yimotze timotze my darish bay. So, what does this Tana learn out from the Pesuk of, from the double lashon of him yimotze timotze? So, meboy le'elich the Rav Bar Iloi, we need this to teach me the halacha of Rav Bar Iloi. What's that? Yomar Rav Bar Iloi. My time at the Rav. Yomar Moda Beknas V'Achakach Bo Eidem Potter. What's the reason for Rav who says that he Moda Beknas V'Achakach Bo Eidem is Potter? So we know a Knas is a penalty. The general halacha is that you are not chayev. You're not chayev for a penalty if you are Moda Beknas. Because if you make the Hodah, the Achronim understand, if you make the Hodah, then you're not chayav a penalty because you've already been modeh, so that's already that already absolves you from the penalty. So but how do we know that if modeh beknas v'achakach bo edim, you're still going to be patur? I might think that because edim came and therefore I would have assessed liability even without your Hodah, maybe we ignore your Hodah and therefore we should impose liability. No, since you were first modeh, you can never be mechayiv somebody else. You can never be mechayiv this person in the knas. But how do I know that? Tichsiv imimotzei timotzei. Because it says imimotzei timotzei. Imimotzei be'edim, it's only imimotzei be'edim, it's only if the liability is known on account of testimony of edim, then timotzei b'dayanim. Then only in that case will he wind up having to pay the knas in Beis Din. Prat l'marshias atzmo. It comes to exclude somebody who is marshia himself. So it's only if the initial liability was known through edim that he has to make the payment. If it's modeh b'knas, even though it's achar kach bo edim, the halacha is going to be potter. Now ulamandi amar tavar b'toyin tanas ganav. But according to Ma'ad Amar, who says that both of these psukim are talking to me about toyin tanas ganav, and therefore I need the word himosei timosei to teach me this riboy and miyut. So the high imimosei atzmo, so marshia atzmo minolan. How does that Ma'ad Amar know that the marshia, that a person who's modeh b'knas v'achakach bo edim, is going to be pater? So he learns it out from that which it says me'asher yarshian elokim v'lo marshia atzmo. It's only somebody who's marshia, somebody who is found to be guilty in Beis Din, i.e. through edim, and not somebody who imposes liability on himself, i.e. through his own hodah. So according to Mandarmer, it says that one of the Pesukim is talking to me about Ganav. One of the Pesukim is teaching me about Toin Tanas Ganav. Imi Matzei Timotzei is coming to teach me the Halacha, the Modeh B'Knas V'Achakach Bo Edim is Potter. So hi, Asher Yoshion, my Darish Bey. So what is that Tana Darish from Asher Yoshion Elohim? Asher Yoshion Elohim. So Amar Lecha, Umi Boile, the Modeh B'Knas to Potter. That Ma'ad Amar teaches me that Modeh B'Knas generally is Potter. Ma'ad Amar Tavaya B'Toyin Tanas Ganav, K'savar Modeh B'Knas V'Achakach Bo Edim Chayev. And the Ma'ad Amar who says that both of them are talking about Toyin Tanas Ganav, that he'll say that Modeh B'Knas V'Achakach Bo Edim is going to be Chayev, because he has no way to learn that Modeh B'Knas V'Achakach Bo Edim is going to be Potter. Well, Ma'ad Amar Chad B'Ganav V'Chad B'Toyin Tanas Ganav, but according to Ma'ad Amar who says that one is talking about Ganav, one is talking about Toyin Tanas Ganav. The Nafkale Ganav Mehasam. Zabishlam imimatzei tamatzei lechadarav Bar Iloi. I understand that the word imimatzei tamatzei is teaching me that halacha of Rav Bar Iloi, that modeh b'knas v'achakach bo edim is potter. Aval kol hani prati lamali. But why do I need all of these? But why do I need all of these pratim? So says Rashi towards the bottom, three lines up from the bottom. Im limute karkos v'avadim v'shtaros k'da amran ho'amito lahanoch mehani prati d'chsev Baal called Varpesha. Again, we have two psukim. So if I'm learning the same thing from both psukim, if I'm learning the same halacha from both psukim, why do I need the protos in both psukim? So from the halachas, from the protos, rather, where the first pasuk says Rashi, I already know to exclude avadim, shtaros, and karka, because that I learned from the klalaprata, from the first klalaprata klal. So what am I learning from the second klalaprata klal? So says the Gemara, the Tana de Bei Rabbi Shmuel. So we learn like Tana de Bei Rabbi Shmuel. The Tana de Bei Rabbi Shmuel called Parsha Shenemru Vinishnis, Lo Nishnis, Ela Davar Shenes Chadishba. That any time we have a Parsha that's repeated, it's repeated only for the Chiddush. And what's the Chiddush here? Rashi says, Imimotzei Be'edim, Timotzei Be'dayanim, Prat L'Modeh B'Knas. That the Chiddush of the second repetition teaches me that Modeh B'Knas V'Akachach Bo Edim is going to be Potter. The Ima Ganav Asmo B'Shvua. Now maybe, again, so to reset, By Toin Tanas Ganav, if a person is a shomer and the Baal and the owner of the object comes and says to the shomer, "Where's my object?" and the shomer says it was stolen, then the owner of the object is mashbia the shomer takes a shvua, then later Edom come and say that the shomer himself stole it, then he's chayef to pay kefil. So by Toin Tanas Ganav, the only time the shomer's chayef to pay kefil is when there was a shvua. So maybe I would think that by Ganav also, the only time he's chayef to pay kefil is when there was a shvua. So ve'ema Ganav asma b'shvua, so says the Gemara, lo sal kadaitach, the Tani Rav Yaakov Omer, shnayim ishalem, shalo b'shvua. It says shalo, shnayim ishalem, it says blanket, simply, that he pays twice, even without a shvua. Sa'at Omer, shalo b'shvua, are you going to tell me that it teaches me shalo b'shvua? O'ena ela b'shvua, maybe shnayim ishalem only when there is a shvua, only when he did impose a shvua on the Ganav. So Amrit lo kachaya. So it says no. So my lo kachaya. What does it mean? Oh no, that he has to pay kefal even without a shvua. How do I know this? So Rabbaya lo lichta rachmana shnayim ishalem beganav v'leisi bekal v'chor mevtoyin tanas ganav. Because if the pasuk weren't teaching me that the ganav pays even without a shvua, then it wouldn't have had to teach me that a ganav's chayef kefal at all. Why? Because madach, if a guy who claims that it was stolen and then turns out to be a ganav, he has to pay kefal. So certainly, if a guy steals himself, he's going to have to pay kefal. But ima toin tanas ganav debet. By Toin Tanas Ganav, he started off as a shomer, so it came into his rishus beheter, and it was only that he kept it beiser. So the Ganav himself, where it's coming into his rishus beiser, certainly he should be mechayev to pay tashlumei kefel. Why do I then need the pasuk to teach me shnayim mishalem by a ganav? Dafilu shalo b'shvua, because it teaches me that he's chayef kefil even shalo b'shvua. But really, does he matzei timatzei come to teach me that the ganav pays kefil even without a shvua, even when he doesn't take a shvua? Hami boile lechadatanya. We need this to teach me another brisa. Yado, it says in the pasuk yado, ein li ele yado. I only know that the ganav is chayef of when he has it physically in his hand, when he's grasping it with his hand. Gago chaser v'karpipa minayin. How do I know that a person's chayef to pay kefil if he steals something by putting the object in his possession and causing and affecting a kinyan through placing the object in his possession? Tamalomer imimatzei timatzei mikol makom. So it says imimatzei timatzei mikol makom doesn't mean that you catch him red-handed necessarily, that he's holding the object. No matter how he's kona the object as a ganav, he's going to be chayef. Zimkein lemakro o imatze himatze o timatze timatze. So if the only thing that this were coming to teach me was that your chayiv, not only if it's biyado, but even if it's otherwise in your rishus, then I understand it may have said a double lashon, but it should have used the same lashon twice. It should have said himatze himatze or timatze timatze. Why the flipped lashon of im himatze timatze midishani krosh mamina tarti? From the fact that the pasuk uses two lashonos here of im himatze timatze, it shows that we learn two things. Number one, we learn that you're chayef for gneva not only when you're grasping it with your hand, but also if it's otherwise in your rishos, whether it's a kinyan chatzar or whatever. And we also learn that a ganav's chayef kefil even when he doesn't have to take a shvua. So this concludes the klala prata klal, riba miyat riba, tana de bechiski, tana de berbi shmol. Tomorrow we pick up with other stuff about how we know that the chiyav keren is assessed, the value of the keren that you have to pay back is assessed from the time of the gneva. Okay.